Hello, everybody. It's so good to see you on this beautiful day. We are just finishing up a series right now called Echoes, When Jesus Calls Your Name. And it is a wonderful reminder that our ministry is not only given to us by Jesus, but sustained to us by Jesus. And we learn that through all the different things that happen throughout our lives. And those things influence our present and to our future. One leadership guru, Zig Ziglar, said, "Life is an echo. What you send out comes back. Whatever you reap, you sow." As I think about that, and I think about last year, last week, yesterday, I think, what is the fruits of my actions then that I am reaping today? In my marriage, in my schooling, in my faith, in my devotion to God. Today we are reaping what we sowed in our lives, because our lives, because we're experiencing this echo. And so we've been looking at Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, with his disciples, starting in John 20, to see what they learned about themselves and about Jesus through events that reminded them of previous things that's happened. I love that we have someone come up. Carrie, I love that you come up and read the scripture. I love that Paul told Timothy, do not forsake the public reading of the scripture. I think a lot of times we are uncomfortable just standing up and reading it. But boy, it's so important to do that. So I'm going to read all of John 20 and then all of John 21. And then we're going to slow down at John 15. So what I'd like you to do is two things. Focus as hard as you can on the story that we're reading. Put yourself in and amongst the things that are happening, and put yourself into the position of the person that we're reading about. Think about what echoes may they be hearing from the things that they're experiencing. This is after Jesus has been crucified and laid in the tomb. John 20. Verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken him out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary?" She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out and touch. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John 21, verse 1. "Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee." It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat. You will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whose Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat towards the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15 starts our text. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now here's the question. Hadn't Jesus changed his name? Remember this encounter in Matthew 16, verse 13? When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Why did he use his old name? What was he trying to convey to Peter? What echo was he bringing into Peter's life? What was he saying to Peter? Remember, Peter had already claimed to love Jesus more than the rest of the disciples. Remember Matthew 26, verse 31? Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you in Galilee," which is where they were right now. Peter replied, "Oh, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Why would Jesus remind him of his failure by calling him his original name? I want you to think about that. Have that question in the back of your head. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." A third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Feed my sheep." Why is Jesus saying this to Peter if Jesus already knows everything because he is God incarnate? Was it for his purpose? Did Jesus not know the answer to this question? Why did he say it three times? Do you remember anything else that happened three times? Do you remember that Peter denied Jesus three times? Now, what's really interesting in this, and a lot of people have made a big deal of it, and I think it's something that's important to remember. Remember, the New Testament isn't written in English, it's written in Greek and Aramaic. And remember that the words that they use may not completely equal the words that we use. When you look at this in the original language, the first time he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" he uses this word, agapeo love. That's, do you love me as God? The highest form of self sacrificial love. Do you love me as God? Peter does not say, I agapeo you. You know what he says? He says, I phileo you. Remember Philadelphia, church of brotherly, or the city of brotherly love? I phileo you. I love you like a brother. That's a lesser love, but it's still a profound love. I love you like a brother. Why did he say that? You know what I love? One commentator, Kent Hughes, said this. Peter loved Jesus with his deepest of loves, but his illusions, his presumptions about himself were gone. It's almost as if Peter's going to say, Peter said, I'm not going to say agape because I know what a loser I am. But I do love you. Do you love me? Jesus said, feed my lambs. The first time he says lambs, lambs are new Christians, new believers. It's the newer, weak believers, the vulnerable, the immature. Feeding is the teaching, the guiding, the nurturing in faith. It's the heart of pastoral love. Do you love me? Take care of my people. Verse 16, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Again, Simon, son of John, do you agape love me? Do you love me sacrificially with all of your heart? Do you love me as God? And again, Peter says, I phileo love you. Yes, Lord, I love you as a great friend. Maybe Peter, painfully aware of his disobedience and failure, felt too guilty to claim that type of love, maybe. And it's like Jesus is saying, are you sure? Let me ask you a second time. Are you positive that you love me? We've been through this before. You said that you would. You said that you'd never leave me. You said that you died for me. And you betrayed me, not once, not twice, but three times. So I'm asking you once, and now I'm asking you twice. Second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Now, he goes from feed my lambs to take care of my sheep. Remember what John said, what Jesus said in John 10? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Wow. Take care of my sheep. 17, the third time he said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? You know, John Piper, one of my favorite preachers and pastors, said this. He says, Jesus doesn't let Peter off easy. He pricks and then restores, showing that deep restoration sometimes comes through honest conviction and grace. Seeds that you've planted yesterday, you're bearing today, whether it's good seeds or bad seeds. Many times we're experiencing the echoes of the past because we haven't looked the echoes of the past because we haven't looked at the sins of the past. Jesus is bringing those to Peter's mind right now. Here's what's interesting about the third time. You ready? Jesus doesn't say, do you agapeo me? Now Jesus uses the term phileo love me. Just like Peter was saying. Why did he do that? Do you love me sacrificially as God? Do you love me sacrificially of God? I love you as my friend. I love you as my best friend. Then Jesus says, do you love me as your best friend? Why did he change the word? Maybe it's because obedience starts with that brotherly intimacy, that love, and then maybe that's what leads to the agape love. Can I just testify that I know that I've found that quite true? When I don't have intimacy with Jesus as my brother, as my friend, then my ability to worship him as God sometimes is difficult. He seems too far. Maybe that. Maybe he's trying to get Peter to remember all the times they walked together, they talked together, they loved each other, they laughed, and they cried. Maybe it's Jesus' way of meeting Peter where he is. This is all Peter could give. Remember, big mouth Peter before the betrayal said he was like, I could do it all. I'll do everything. I'll take care of all this stuff. It's that braggadocious way that baby Christians talk. I'll never leave. I'll never, because they have not been disciplined by their sin, by reflecting on the sin and the echoes that it has into their past. Peter, do you love me as your best friend, as a brother? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Lord, you know all things because you are God. You deserve my sacrificial agapeo love. But I got phileo love with you right now because you're with me. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Why did Jesus do this? Why did Jesus have a coal fire in the section before that Peter looked at and realized that the only other time we see a coal fire in the Bible is the one that he warmed his hands at in the courtyard when he betrayed Jesus? Why does he say it three times? And he realizes three times he denied him. Jesus accepted the apostles' recognized failure and imperfection and graciously charged Peter to care for his flock. And he says, very truly, I tell you. You might have having a translation, verily, verily. This is Jesus' way of saying, wake up, hey, I'm talking to you, listen. Very truly, I tell you. Peter, listen to me now. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went out, went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. A lot of people believe that stretch out your hands means this. Lead you to the place you don't want to go. Peter is going to be crucified. This is prophetic because Peter was, historically, we know that Peter was crucified. Peter finally understood that all of all that bragging that I'll die with you, he finally comes to understand that yes, he's going to do it. He's going to die for him. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Verse 19. Then he said to him, oh, I love this. Then he said to Peter, follow me. Is this the first time he said this to Peter? No. You remember the first time he said this to Peter? When Peter was fishing on the first boat at the Sea of Galilee where they are, and Peter doesn't catch any fish in the first boat in the Sea of Galilee, which is where they are. Just like they didn't catch fish, and he catches fish because Jesus says, throw your nets out. And Peter looks up the first time, way back when, looks at Jesus, and you know what he says? He says, thanks for all the fish. I'm going to go sell it now and buy a new car. No, he says, Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. He realized that it wasn't just about the fish. It was about the revelation that Jesus is God, and he felt sinful in his presence the first time and now this time. Jesus is bringing him back. The echo is loud and clear with Peter. He says, follow me. Leave your primary allegiances. Leave the lives. Reorder your whole life around me. Learn to live the way that I live. Surrender your life and come to me. Lay down your nets, your way of life, and follow me. He said, Jesus said this in Matthew 4:19, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. Jesus also said it to an individual who wanted to follow him but didn't count the cost. In Matthew 8:29, Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus even said it to a disgusting, betraying tax collector named Matthew, who was like a corrupt IRS agent taking extra money from all of his own people to feed the hostile government that had enslaved them. He even said to him, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Jesus said in Matthew 10, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Peter, you're going to do that now. Matthew, leavens, not tax collector, you're going to do that now. Members of this church, you're going to do that now. You're going to follow me to death. Jesus says to the rich young ruler who was a really righteous individual, he says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give them to the poor, you have treasures, then come and follow me. This is Jesus' way of bringing Peter back to his calling. This is Jesus' way of saying, Peter, I commissioned you beginning, you walked away, I'm restoring you and recommissioning you now. This recommissioning is built on Peter's understanding that he is not God, that he is a sinner saved by grace. Even after 3 years of following Jesus as the number one, Jesus reminds him that in humility, you will do these things and you will die for me. Follow me. Peter becomes the leader of the church when the church is birthed in Acts chapter 2. Pastors become shepherds, which is really under shepherds, because Jesus is the great shepherd, and here we are today. Verse 20, Peter turned and saw that the disciple who loved Jesus was following them. 22, Jesus answered, if I want him to, Jesus says, verse 21, when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You must follow me. You must follow me. Peter, don't be worrying about other people in their walk. Don't be worrying about other churches. Don't be worrying about things on the blogs. Don't be worrying about things in the news. Don't be worrying about this church did this or that church did this. You follow me, Peter. Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread amongst the disciples that the disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if you want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? Notice the disciple that he's talking about is the one writing these words. That's John. John's writing these words most likely in jail or he's in trouble on the island of Patmos, banished there because he loves Jesus. I love that God allows this to be put in there to call us to remember that, look, once you start following, make sure that your eyes stay on Jesus, not on the people you're trying to lead or the other people around you. John says this is the disciple who testifies to these truths and who wrote them down. This is verse 24. We know his testimony is true. It's true. This is truth. This is not, well, this is what Christians believe. This is not, well, this kind of what happened. This is truth. Verse 25, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And he's still doing them today, amen? He's still working. He's still doing things. You know what's so interesting what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14? He says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Greater things are yet to come and have already come. We go from 12 to a couple hundred to a couple thousand to over a billion greater things. You know, we started this series by asking the question, as we look back over 2025, we have to ask, what did the seeds that we plant there, what kind of fruit did they bear today? What lessons do we need to learn from the past to become the type of people God wants us to be? As the echoes of the past ripple into our future, we have to incline our ear to Christ and say, Lord, what would you have us do? And there's some things that Jesus does not want us to forget. He wants us to remember, like Mary, the first time Jesus called her name. Mary? Probably wasn't the first time. Jesus wants us to remember that there are going to be times when you don't recognize his presence because you're so caught up in the circumstances of your life, just like the disciples didn't recognize who he was. Jesus wants to know that when we are in fear, like the disciples locked behind the doors, he is with us. Poof! Jesus, what are you doing here? Jesus wants us to remember that even when our faith is weak, like Thomas's faith, he will show up and meet us in our weakness. Jesus wants every one of us to remember the first time we became a follower of Christ and the passion that was there. Just like the first time Peter jumped out of the boat to follow Jesus. Just like the second time he did when he jumped out of the boat and walked on water. Just like this third time when he jumped out of the boat and didn't float but swam to shore. Wants to remind us that we are imperfect beings trying to love imperfect beings with a perfect love. And Jesus finally turned to Peter and asked him, do you love me? He turns to every one of us today and asks us, not three times, but all the time, do you love me? Did yesterday prove it? Did last year prove it? Do you love me? If you love me, tend my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my flock. If you love me, prove it by how you love one another. Throughout these echoes, God's faithfulness repeats itself over and over and over so we might learn, grow, and step forward in the missions he's called us to. My friends, today may we hear the echo of Jesus' voice in our past so that we can live today towards the future of faithfulness. May we, like Peter, step forward, restored, forgiven, and recommissioned, letting the echoes of Jesus' mercy flow through us into the world. Amen? Hey. Let me pray for us. God, we belong to you. Jesus, you have bought and paid for us at a price. Whatever you want is what we want to give you. Help us learn from the past so we don't repeat all these stupid things. We love you. Cannot love you as much as you love us. But we can let our love be filled with your love for us. Help us remember that. Help us stay near you, be close to you, and be found in you and known as yours. Have your way in us. You are God and we are not, and we would rather have it that way. We love you. Amen.